Welcome back to the Wall Podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed the episode with Caroline Foran and my intro episode. And thank you so much for returning. If this isn't the first episode that you've listened to, I appreciate the return. And for those of you who are the first time listeners of the Wall Podcast, you are very welcome. This episode is more of a chat style episode with one of my good friends that I met over here in New York. Her name is Eva Murphy-Ryan, and she is currently a market executive. Both of us have lived here for almost 3 years, so we have gone through the same journey, and we have gone through all the ups and downs together, and we've really figured it all out together. Both of us moved here on our own with no friends and no family, and have really had to find our feet here. Eva's portfolio is focused on Irish tech companies, exporting and doing business across the United States. She also holds an honours bachelor's degree in business studies from Trinity College Dublin and a diploma in brand management strategies from the Fashion Institute of Technology here in New York. She is also the current chair of the Irish International Business Network's Future Leaders Board here in New York as well. So she's quite savvy. She's a savvy woman. And in addition to that, she's a good friend. So I want you to really think of this episode as a guide to moving to New York. We go through credit scores and being street smart and finding apartments and finding jobs and getting paid and all that fun stuff. I think this episode will be beneficial to obviously those of you who are thinking of moving to New York or are currently in the process of moving to New York. I think New York has always been, across the world, one of those cities that people are curious about. How people live here, how people survive, how people work, what the life is like and what the lifestyle is like. Anytime I'm on Instagram, people are constantly just asking me about life in New York. And I think that's just because it's pretty unique. There's about 8 million people living on one mini island stacked up on top of each other. I heard a quote on a famous YouTuber's profile who used to live here in New York for 18 years. And he said, "You don't live in New York, you just learn how to survive here." And I thought that was just, that's exactly the perfect description. So you can imagine how when you come to a city like this and people are just trying to survive, you can imagine the competition, you can imagine the community, you can imagine how outward people are, you can imagine how tough it is and all those things in between. It's not really a normal place to live, if you ask me. So enjoy this episode. I hope that you get something out of it, and I hope that you tune in again for more Wall Podcast episodes to come. You're going to hear the sirens on the street. You're going to hear everything. All the sounds from New York City. This is my first like episode with a friend. Yay. That I'm like, I feel comfortable and like casual. I'm like, ooh. Like everyone else, I've been like hyped up.
I feel privileged that you picked me then.
And I feel like this is going to be like a two-part.
Yeah.
Like I feel like this is going to be, I mean, when you talk about moving to New York, it's like, how long have you got? Like it's like a long episode. It's a lot of content.
I feel like we could talk about this for a long time. And also we have these conversations every weekend where we just talk for hours and hours about moving to New York.
And like different problems. And yeah. Yeah. And I know that like, obviously, like I've put a lot of content out there about moving to New York, but like I know that you and other Irish girls get messages too, and it's not just me, just because I write about moving to New York, like normal people and people who aren't like influencers or bloggers still get like messages or like questions.
Yeah, I get a lot of people that message me on LinkedIn, mainly for like job advice, so I try and help people as much as possible, but then I'll always like meet someone for a coffee and be like, so do you know where you're living at? Like I try and help on that aspect as well, because I mean, the job is definitely one thing and that's so hard, but I honestly think just like getting settled in New York is like a whole issue in itself, like trying to get an apartment and trying to make friends and like meet people. I think
it's like setting up a new life. So tell me a bit about like your story and kind of a snippet. So like, how did you like, like, why did you want to move to New York, and how did you go about it? Like, was it something that was presented to you and you took the option, or were you like, I need to move to New York City?
Yeah, so I guess I knew I always wanted to move. Like, I always haven't been a massive home bird. I always liked traveling, and I tried to do it as much as I could throughout kind of college, like taking summers abroad. And so I did my summer J1 in New York in the summer of 2016. And then I went back to college, did like my final year in college studying business in Trinity, and then was like, right, I need to, like, I'm moving to New York after this. Because with the grad visa, you only have such a small window that I was like, I'm moving to New York, and I was like trying to find someone to move with me, and like none of my friends were really open to it. And so it was just a case of, well, do I do it by myself, or do I wait and hope that one of my friends will eventually change their mind? So I was kind of got into the mindset that, okay, I'm going to have to move by myself, and like, it'll be fine. But then I was really lucky that, you know, on the side of things, I was also applying for graduate programs. And so a lot of the international programs have, you know, New York as an option or other offices in the US. So I just applied to any that had any office in the US. So,
so you were actually willing to move to like any, okay.
I just wanted to come to the States, which I know is a bit, because like they're so different, but I just love traveling. And even now I've tried to travel around the US as much as possible and not stay in New York. And yeah, I was really lucky, like insanely lucky. I still feel like they picked the wrong person when I got a graduate program.
No, don't say that.
Was actually funny, the day my contract arrived, it had like a different name on it, and I was like, they definitely accidentally sent this to the wrong person. And so I was really lucky. I mean, there's loads you can apply for with like IBEC and Tourism Ireland and Board B and Enterprise Ireland, there's loads. And I got one that was a 2-year program, and they put me in New York. So I mean, I know how lucky I am, because so many people move over and they don't have a job, and I had a job moving over, which is like
the biggest thing.
And so yeah, like
it's no matter how many people I talk to who have moved to New York, they're like, the job is the biggest thing. We'll get into that, because that's the beast.
Like, I talk about that for ages, but yeah, so I was so lucky. And even when I see people move over on grad visas now, I'm honestly like, I don't know if I could do it, because I know how hard the job market is over here. And I know how long it takes to get a job. And then you're only here for a year on the visa. It's so hard. And like, I've been here, it's coming up on 2 years now in September. And I didn't feel settled after my first year.
No.
And it wasn't enough
first
time.
First year is like a shit show.
Even 2 years isn't enough time.
I would say that as well. So tell me, okay, so we're talking about the job. The job situation, I suppose, when you come to New York, before you even land here, and like when you actually land here, the job situation is the biggest hurdle to get over.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people will agree with me on that. And everyone has their own different situations, and every single person's situation is unique.
Mm-hmm.
But the job situation is one to get over. So how would you say to kind of tackle that from somebody who has maybe got the grad visa or got a certain visa, that they need to find a job? Like, how would you say, what's helped you tackle that?
Yeah.
You know?
So I guess I have a lot of
knowing the market a little bit more now.
Exactly. So like, I work at a lot of different companies over here, and I get a lot of people reaching out to me kind of looking for jobs, and I try and help people as much as I can. And the one thing I'll say, in New York, it's all about who you know.
Yeah.
And it's all about networking, and it's not about like applying online, sending your resume to different companies and hoping for the best. It's about reaching out to somebody in that company and saying, hey, you know, can we meet for a coffee? Like, I'm really interested in this role. And that's what people respond to more. And it's also, it is kind of an Irish thing in a way, like play on the fact that you're Irish, see who in the organization even did a summer abroad and like, you know, went to Dublin for a summer or studied abroad in UCD or DCU. And like, I know so many people that have just messaged those guys on LinkedIn, and that's how you get in somewhere. And I honestly think that's the best way of doing it, because you could be sending your CV out to 100 different companies, but you have one meaningful coffee with the CEO of a large marketing company who happens to be Irish, and it's going to be a much easier in route for you, especially because the graduate visa, like, companies don't love signing off on that. Like, you have to establish like a trainee program, and sometimes people get a job and then the company look at the visa and they're like, we're actually not happy to support this. But if you have an Irish person fighting for you, I honestly think that's the easier way.
I mean, that's ideal. And I know a lot of people have got jobs through knowing Irish people over here.
But I will say, I'm like, no. I'm like, it's easy.
Yeah, because you did it a different route.
Yeah, like the grad visa and the, like I moved over here on the J1 trainee, which is like kind of like the grad visa, except it's 18 months. There's a few like little like terms and conditions that are a little bit different. It's like the grad visa, but you do need to get a job before you even apply for it. But the kind of terms and conditions when you move over here are pretty much the same kind of flexibility as the grad visa. Like, you don't really have much flexibility with things. So for me to get a company to sign off on that from Ireland was the hardest part.
Yeah, I can imagine.
To get a company to say, I want to hire you and I've never met you before. Like, that was the biggest hurdle, and that took me about 12 months to do that.
It takes a long time
of constant applying. But then again, if you don't have a job and you land over here, you're under serious pressure to get a job in 3 months. I don't know how people do it. And I only had this conversation with my roommate last night, who's also Irish and who also moved over here on the grad visa, that like a few of her friends have gone home, like just under the radar, like just kind of left because they can't get a job. And I don't want to scare people by listening to this, but honestly, the reality of it,
it's so hard. And I think this time to be moving to the US is probably the hardest time that you're ever going to experience in the last like 10 years. This is the hardest time. And so I'm seeing friends from home going to Australia and Canada, no one's really coming here, and the jobs market is so hard, and then especially in New York. And I do think that there's another thing that a lot of people get wrong when they come over. You know, maybe they've just graduated from, like what I did, like a very generic business degree, not really knowing what I was going to specialize in. And then people say, yeah, I'm just looking for a marketing role, or I'm just looking for a digital marketing role. And like, you have to be so niche. Yeah. When I meet someone, I'm like, you need to tell me that you want to be a brand manager for a consumer facing brand that does this. Like, you need to be the nichest in your search for a job, because if you're meeting people and you're like, I'll take anything in business or business development or sales or marketing, they're all totally different roles. And so having that very specific idea of what you want to do, I think, will help you so much. And then it really helps narrow down your job search as well, because there's so many jobs in New York that you could be applying for too. So that really helps. I also think saying thank you to people and having a lot of gratitude over here goes a really long way. Like, I know someone and she'd be quite high up in a company, and she meets with a lot of Irish girls that come over and guys, and the ones that follow up with her after the conversations and say thank you so much for meeting me, or she's got like she's gotten like handwritten cards from girls being like, thank you for giving up your time, and she remembers those ones, and but she also remembers the ones that she never heard from again.
So. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So from a practicality standpoint, applying for jobs, you're talking about following up with people. You're talking about like messaging people on LinkedIn to say, hey, like I applied. So what I used to do is like, I used to go on LinkedIn, apply for the job and find out who posted the job, and then message them.
Message like the hiring manager, the HR manager. Mm-hmm. Also like
find, even if the person who posted it is not visible, find out who the HR person is in that place, and like go and like, you just have to do that extra bit of graft, because you're positioning yourself in a sense that like, you're like asking them to do an extra step. They could hire an American person and who doesn't need a visa signed off on, whether it's monetary sponsorship or they you just want them to sign off on your trainee program, you're still asking them to do an extra step. So you always have to take that extra step in the job application process to prove yourself.
Exactly. But also don't undersell yourself either, because I see people and they're like, oh God, like they're going into an interview and they're like, oh, I'm so nervous. And I don't mean to generalize, but Americans don't have that about them. Like, they go into an interview and they're like, you should want to hire me. Yeah. You know, you guys need me, I don't need you. And we don't always come over here with that attitude. And I think we should be a lot more confident in ourselves. And then they'll see that and they'll want to hire us way more.
Yeah, I was told that from the get, like before I even moved over here. They're like, Americans are not as modest as Irish. Like, we forget the cultural difference, like in us is like, you know, from and everything from like saying sorry instead of excuse me. Like, when you hear somebody saying excuse me, you're just like, what? Whereas we're like, sorry. And then if you say thank you, American person will say you're welcome, and you're like, they're real cheeky, like they said you're welcome. Whereas we're like, you're grand, like don't be saying, we don't even accept it. Like, where and then when they go into job interviews, they're like, they tell them that their sun moon, like the sun shines out of their arse.
I know.
You know, whereas we go in, we're like, all right,
you know, when someone says you're achieving an interview, like, oh wow, you graduated first, that's amazing. Don't say, oh Jesus, I just scraped that. Like, you need to be like, yeah, I did. and I put a lot of work into that. And anything that you can do to help yourself stand out, like, don't just have a normal CV, like, even just the practical things of, like, a CV in Ireland, it's a resume over here, it cannot be more than one page, but don't just have the generic resume. So, like, we're about interested in, like, PR, so I did know one of my friends applied for a job, and instead of sending her resume to them, she sent them a press release on herself. And things like that, like, that'll just stand out. Or send a video, or just do something creative that you might be like, oh, I'm so scarlet to do that, but we need to do it.
Our mutual friend, who I also did a podcast with, for example, he recorded a video of himself.
He did.
You would want to hire him, and that's another example. That's really, really interesting and kind of quirky. So when you get, I mean, let's just put a conclusion on the job market, it's very competitive. You have to really step up your game, and you I would say to myself, if I had to come over here in the grad visa, or to people who come over here in the grad visa, don't look at it as if, like, oh, if I keep applying I'll get something. You might not get something, and it's just the luck of the draw. And I don't think that you might be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I think that even if you're a hard worker, like, I've known people with books published on Amazon and 2 master's degrees, and they can't even get anywhere. It's not about, because they take you on for the likability factor as well.
If you fit in with the culture of the organization is a big thing over here.
They're like, why do you want to work for this brand? And, like, you have to ask questions, and you have to kind of step up your game in that sense as well. But it's just kind of, I feel like the graduate program, especially the J1s, are structured in a way that kind of is almost set up for failure.
I hate to say that, but
I know a lot of people would agree with me, especially since the job market has moved so competitive to the way it is now. Whereas when that program was developed years ago, it probably wasn't as bad. Do you know what I mean?
No, definitely. And it's so hard, and I think, do as much prep as you can. If a few months even before you come out here, it is pretty hard to get a job. I mean, you did it from home, but it is pretty hard. But just have realistic expectations. Things aren't going to fall into your lap in the first few weeks, and just keep going through and try not to give up, because the city will kind of teach you that you can't give up here as well. So
true. So when you finally get into a job, I suppose another biggest hurdle, one of your most important things when you get to New York, is really your apartment as well. And it's
like my least favorite part, honestly, is trying to find somewhere to live.
You kind of, like, I always say, like, I remember when I got the visa, my dad was like, how are you going to move all your stuff? Because I spoiled rotten. Like, I had so much stuff at home. I turned my bedroom.
I brought over, like, 5 suitcases. Like, all my friends were laughing at me when I went to the airport that day. They were like, are you okay? And I was like, I need all this stuff.
Yeah, you think that you need it. And one thing New York has taught me, which I love, is that you to downsize. And you need very little. And now I'm just like, clutter, I can't deal with it. Or if somebody gives me a gift, I'm like, I honestly can't. Like, if somebody's like, do you want one of those? Or I'm like, I can't, I don't have space for it. I don't have space for, like, extra towels.
No.
Or extra, like, anything. I don't have space.
It's so funny, because,
like,
I met you here today and I have loads of shopping bags with me, because I went shopping for more clothes. But you actually just can't.
You can't.
I have room.
Clothes. No. You have to keep things moving, and you have to keep everything very simplified.
Yeah.
So the apartment search is one thing, I suppose, if you're coming over here on a graduate, or you're coming over here fresh, to get into a sublet, probably. Like, a lease is kind of going to be harder, because you're going to need credit score, which we'll get into as well.
Yeah.
But in a sublet, you don't necessarily need credit score.
I would say do a sublet, definitely. Just because you don't know what neighborhood you want to live in. And so you're signing into a year lease with people that you probably don't know, in an area that you don't know. And I made this mistake. I signed into a year lease and then could not get out of it.
You don't know what situation you're getting yourself into. So I would say, when you're moving over here, sublet. Which means you're basically renting off the tenants, as opposed to renting off the landlord. Your name is not on the lease, you're not in a contract, but you will need cash. And you will also need to move very, very quickly. And when I say very quickly, I'm talking about an hour or 2 hours, the apartment could be gone. Like, I've had apartments where they're like, we're ready for you. Like, I know you want to take this. And I wouldn't text them back for an hour, or I'd be doing something. Or 2 hours later, they'd be like, sorry, we gave it to somebody else.
Yeah.
You have to move quickly. and you have to be just ready to get your skates on and like hit the ground running with the apartments.
They're, I know, and you know, few it's and so between. Expensive. And like, I know there's new laws that have come in just in like recent weeks about tenants in New York. No, just like trying to make it fairer for people. So apparently now, I need to look into it more. I need to read about it, but apparently you don't need to pay last month's rent anymore because a lot of landlords here will ask you for first, last, and security.
Which is my landlord,
And like, I was signing on my lease and I obviously had no credit score and like nothing over here, no tax forms. I didn't exist, and I think I had to pay like 4 months rent up front, and my rent was, I want to say, like $1,200 maybe, something like that. And I had two roommates, and that wasn't in the city, that was in Brooklyn. So that will just give people some idea of kind of what you're looking for. You're looking at over $1,000 anyway. I mean, maybe if you've like four or five roommates, I'd say you get something for like $800-900. But I would say base figure for me would be like, it's hard to find something in the $800-900. You're going to be further out in Brooklyn and you're going to have more roommates.
Yeah.
So it's like, what are you willing to sacrifice?
I might edit this out, but my bill, like when we moved into our place in the Lower East Side, two bed, my bill, like what I had to do, what I had to come up with in 24 hours was 12 grand.
Yeah, it's like, horrific. Fuck. And I honestly think people need to know this because I always hear rents in New York are so expensive. Nobody gives me their monetary figure. Like, how much is it? Like, write that number down for me. And I'm like very honest with telling people like what we pay over here, because I think people need to have realistic like expectations. It's obviously rent in Dublin is insane, but it's still like a far off from that.
Yeah.
But no, it is absolutely mad. And then you're talking about utilities on top of that as well. So
Sure.
It's definitely expensive.
It's definitely really expensive.
And we both moved around quite a lot. Like I've moved like three times. I was in the East Village for a very small amount of time, and then I moved to Greenpoint, which is in Brooklyn.
You're in East Village?
Yeah, for like a little bit when I first came over. Yeah. I did like it. I just, the city is so expensive. And then I moved to Greenpoint in Brooklyn, which I loved, except for the roommates. And then, well, one roommate, the other girl I still live with. And then we both moved to Williamsburg. And I love Williamsburg. I really, really like it. So it took me like three stops on the subway to get to SoHo today. So it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I've been in Long Island City, in Queens, and then in Chelsea, which I loved Chelsea. Really loved Chelsea, but like, I suppose Chelsea's quite expensive, but I got super lucky with my rent there. And then now on the Lower East Side, East Village, I suppose, which I don't want to move away from. I mean, I'm not like obsessed with the East Village, but like, I just feel like it's the first place that I have an apartment that I have like a two, now I'm going on 3 year lease. And it's like, I feel settled, and you know, it's the first time that you really feel comfortable.
It feels like home now,
Yeah.
And how did you find all of yours? Because I found mine on Facebook, through Facebook groups. Yeah.
Facebook, and my old roommate who lived with me, who moved in together in the East Village, she found it as a realtor. But when you're going through a realtor, you have to pay a month's rent in upfront as a fee for them. So you're basically
a broker's fee kind of thing.
Yeah, so it could be like, say if your rent was like $3,000, you're paying three grand. So say if you're living with two people, like it's just you and another person, it's $1,500 each just to pay her. You don't get that money back. It's not a deposit. It doesn't come back. You just pay it outright to her, $1,500. So if you're going to your realtor, and it's very, very hard to get no fee, which we ended up getting, was no fee, and a lot of them advertise as no fee, and then they show up and they're like, oh, my fee is X amount of money, and you're just like, and sometimes it's like 11 or 12% of the yearly lease, so like you're talking thousands. So it's kind of tricky, but I think, again, you have to be very thorough and in your search and make sure you look deep into like what you're really looking for to find a no fee. And kind of just like, she tried the fee thing on us, the realtor. Like, she was nice, but she tried the fee thing on us, and we were like, your ad said that it was no fee, and she was like, yeah, actually, sorry. Like, and she ended up, I'm like, you nearly copped us out of like $3,000. Like,
no, you have to know your rights when you're getting into it.
You have to like be pushy, and like, thankfully the girl I moved in with, shout out to her, she's like, she was the one who was like, nah, like, she worked in finance, she was like ready to like, she was taking over. I was loving it. So I learned a lot from that as well, that experience of kind of just having a neck, because I didn't have a credit score. I mean, I don't still have a credit score.
I mean, we can talk about that later, because that's, oh my god, hellish. But yeah, I think I used, so there's Gypsy Housing on Facebook, then there's like Not Gypsy Housing, I used that one as well. Then the Irish groups are, it's really helpful. Yeah, it's like Not Gypsy Housing is a Facebook group, and then it's so funny, like there's a Facebook group that's probably the most helpful of Irish people over here, but it's called something that nobody would know unless they heard about it. It's called Let's Make Our Lives Easier.
Yes.
So unless you know about that group, you're not in it, and that's probably the most helpful because people are always putting up sublets and everything.
Yeah, that's true. That one's...
Or people are just posting being like, hey, help, I'm trying to go to the doctor and I don't have insurance. Yeah. What do I do? And then everyone writes being like, you're gonna
be
okay.
And in fairness, like the Irish people are quite helpful in that sense.
So
like,
helpful.
You can, once you kind of get a network of Irish people, you kind of really, because it's not that you are not straight, it's not that you're not like not putting yourself out there, it's actually like you're talking about the people who are on the same type of visas, they're experiencing the same type of move, they're experiencing all the same things.
Yeah.
That you can't, Americans don't know the same visa that you're on, like they don't know what the process is like, and that's fair enough, but when you're with an Irish person, you know you're either on the J1, the graduate, you know you're on certain types of visas, there's a limited amount.
And it probably takes us about 10 minutes after meeting for the question to come up, like what visa are you on? I feel like it's always
straight away, you're just like, what visa are they on?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think like it's so helpful to have a network of, you know, Irish girls or guys over here, and then also to have a network outside of that too. You know, you don't want it to feel like you're at home, because then you might as well just be in Ireland.
Yeah,
but I will say, I think I felt the most alone over here when I think I first had to go to like the dentist or something, and she was like, who's your emergency contact?
No.
And that's when it hits you, you're like, wow, I know, I think I moved over and I knew maybe one person in the city, and I was like, well, can't put my mom down now because it would be like a different area code and everything. So I think once you find your emergency contact, things get better from there.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember the first time we met and I was just like, honestly, like, if you need me for anything, like, we didn't know each other, and I was just like, we just had coffee and I was like, honestly, like, if you need me for anything, like, I'm here, like, I'm only up the road, like, it's kind of, you just put yourself, like, I met you once and I was like, I'll be your emergency contact, like,
and I remember, like, you were sick or something a few days after we met, and I think I messaged you being like, are you okay,
because you were like, I'll come over, and I was just like, no, I'm actually all right now, but like, it would have been the situation where I would have been like, wouldn't have mind messaging you being like, do you mind, because I know that
bring me flat 7 Up, like,
because
like otherwise it's so like, you just, you're so alone, you don't know what to do. And like now I feel so much better that if I was ill or something happened, that I have girls that I can ring.
Yeah.
Like, and I've had like a few bad situations here that have happened, and like, you know, nothing too horrific, but things that I need to talk to somebody about. Like,
yeah,
I was kind of in college over here and we had, you know, like a lockdown situation where we thought there was like a shooter on campus, and I was like, who am I gonna text? It's like 3 a.m. Irish time right now.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I mean, like, we're all just like each other's family over here, and we have each other's backs, and it's like a support system, so it's really good.
For real. And I suppose, are we putting ourselves out there for any Irish girls listening to this?
Yeah, definitely. I'm like,
so open.
Slide into my DMs.
Yeah, slide in.
Irish girls.
I don't mind it. And like, even I kind of like, people ask me, oh, like, are you free for coffee? And I feel like I would sometimes want to ask them, but they might I don't know, it's like sometimes you like think it's weird, do they have a network of friends that like they don't really need you, like, but like, just putting it out there, like, I know that both of us are like totally open that sort of crack, like, just kind of even for one coffee, and then to kind of find your head, or even just for a reply for a message, just to kind of like settle your, if you're worried about something that you think is, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. And like, I'm really happy that I moved over by myself, because it does make you, you know, just grow up and you have to be okay with being alone, and you have to deal with a lot of stuff yourself. Whereas I think if I moved over with a big group of my friends, I would have definitely stuck to them. So I think I've met a lot more people because I was here alone. But I will always say, like, if anybody gets themselves into a situation where they want to talk to somebody else or just need an emergency contact, to reach out. And then if something really bad happens over here, you know, the Irish consulate are here in New York and they have emergency line, and nobody really knows that, but you can ring that. So if you're in hospital, or say, oh my God forbid, you got arrested or something, you can ring the Irish consulate and they have to provide you with consular assistance.
Oh, so what is consular assistance?
So it's just, so you get it from being an Irish citizen. You can actually ask for consular assistance from any of the EU consulates. But if you get arrested and you're in jail and they're like, you have one call, you have to call the Irish consulate pretty much, and they'll help.
I'm like, Dad,
I know, like, what is he gonna do from Ireland, like, try and post your bail, like, so yeah, I like have that emergency number on my phone just in case, or say you like lost your passport and you were trying to get home or something, the Irish consulate is in New York for stuff like that.
Do they get you out of jail, or like, what's the story?
They're just there to provide, they're kind of like there to be like your representative on the outside.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't talk too much about it because I actually don't know a huge amount about it. All I know is that number is there for people if they need it. So
just research that. Yeah. Okay, so that kind of takes us into friends and making friends. So the Irish consulate as well, is they do networking every first Friday of every month.
They do. The first Friday of every month, they do a networking breakfast apart from the summer. So the last one's in June. It starts back up in September. The summer is just a bit of a kind of a downtime in terms of kind of networking events. A lot of people leave the city. But yeah, so it's at like 8 a.m. on a Friday morning. So it is before work. And a lot of people always say to me, oh, I'd love to go, but it's so early. But New Yorkers just start so early. Yeah. And I will say, I can vouch for this, it's a full Irish breakfast and it actually tastes, it tastes like a breakfast from home.
What? I've never been.
Oh my God, no, I'm there all the time because they have like sausages, they have brown bread, like actual brown bread with like jam and everything. Oh, it's so good.
I'm getting hungry now. It's like 30 degrees out. I'm like, I'd love a sausage sandwich.
I know. Oh my God, it's so hot today. But yeah, and they do like community announcements and everything. So if something's happening, they'll talk about it. If someone's looking for a job, they'll be like, do you want to come up and explain who you are and what you're looking for? And then if anyone in the room is hiring, they'll just like put their hand up. So it's a really nice way. And actually it's funny because a few of my best friends over here I have met at those breakfasts, like the first time.
I'm always like, how do you know so and so? And you're like, I met them at the breakfast. I'm like, all right,
so weird.
Even because I feel like, even if you're not, I'm not established in New York by any stretch, but I'm like settled, like I can settle to a point where I have a job and I have, you know, good friends and like all that stuff. But it's like, you should still go and you should still put yourself out there.
Definitely.
And that in itself will lead you to making more friends, because, you know, one thing about New York City is that it's always changing.
People
everything
leave all the time.
Is changing all the time. And I fought that for 3 years, and it's only now that I've come to like realize, like my mom said to me, she was like, Stephanie, what if it's just supposed to just change all the time?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, but because you're trying to find your feet, you're trying to get that normal life thing going on, and you're kind of chasing that, whereas it's like that Sex and the City quote where she's like, you're always looking for a man, apartment or a job in New York City. It's so
there's always something.
So true.
Yeah.
You know, like eliminate the man part, but it's like you're always either looking for a job or an apartment.
Definitely. You're always not happy in one or the other, I think.
Yeah.
And also New York,
things move so quickly.
Things do, and so it's not a sustainable lifestyle to have. So no one really comes over. I mean, it definitely happens, but no one stays for like their whole life. Like people want to get out of the city after a certain amount of time because it just takes its toll.
Yeah.
Like you're tired, it's so fast paced. And so people are leaving. People are going back to Ireland. People are going somewhere else. And so you need to constantly be making. You need to be making new friends, because otherwise someday you'd like wake up and you're like, wow, all my friends are gone. So
You need to kind of be constantly evolving with the city and with like life over here.
Yeah, definitely.
But another one is, and I've known a few people who have gone on Bumble BFF.
I've never used that actually, but I know you did.
I've used it before. Because I've heard a friend had really good success on it, and I actually started being friends with her Bumble BFF friends, and I've heard a good few success stories off it. And like that, like you just kind of have to keep yourself out there, like, and you never know. And one of them, Bumble BFF, is like, they also do like, I don't know if Bumble is available in Ireland, is it? Do people use Bumble?
Yeah, it is. That just shows how little we know, but no, it is.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
like,
sure it is.
And then you can also do Bumble Business, which is like for business opportunities, or like if you're looking to collaborate with somebody or whatever, you can do that. And then Bumble BFF, so it's kind of like you kind of see somebody, like for me it was like people who were interested in social media or like podcasting or something that you're kind of have some interest, like similar interest. Because people are open here, and a lot of people are on their own, and a lot of people are like digital nomads, like floating around the city.
And people put themselves out more than they do in Ireland as well.
Yeah. People are open, and my experience with Irish people and American people has been so positive. Like I've made so many friends, and people are just, everyone's here for a reason. I think you don't stay in New York City if, like, everybody has one thing in common. Like, everyone's here for a certain reason, and it kind of drives you to, like, stay here, because it's fucking hard.
It's so hard.
You know, so you have to have someone that drives you to drive through that.
Yeah.
So all my experience with, like, Irish girls has been so positive. Like, so positive.
So positive. And also, it's a good way, when you're feeling homesick, just to ring one of the girls. It kind of feels like you're at home a little bit. Now I'm pretty lucky in that I don't really tend to experience homesickness. Like obviously I miss my friends and family, but I would always kind of rather, I guess, be here. Maybe this might sound kind of bad though.
That's my thing on it. It's like I would like to be at home, it's like I miss home, and like yesterday was my mom's birthday, say, for example, and
okay,
I was like,
that's hard. Yeah,
I was like, ah, I'd love to just be like there with her, and like I feel guilty because I know that she wants me there as well, so that's kind of playing at me. But like when you weigh up the pros and cons,
I know.
You're like, I'd rather be
I
here.
I feel bad when I miss something big or I'm not home for a big life event, but otherwise I kind of just wish I could bring my family and friends here, you know, to have them here more.
Yeah.
And
but home is home.
Yeah. And yeah. Like, to be honest, we have a lot of friends here. If I'm feeling really homesick, I'll go to like the butcher's block, get myself some custard creams.
Anyone who doesn't know, the butcher's block is like, what, it's a store in Queens?
It's a store in Sunnyside in Queens. It's in like an Irish grocery store, basically. And they have like
I
a deli. You can literally get, oh my God, stop. You can literally get like a chicken fillet roll. Like, if I'm like hungover, I'll be like, I can go get a chicken fillet roll, custard creams, box of berries tea, and I'm sorted and I don't feel homesick then.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
That would be my tip, but otherwise I'm pretty bad at tips around homesickness because it's not really something that I've experienced a huge amount of, luckily.
Yeah.
My family are probably listening now being like, my God, she hates us all, but I just wish they were here more. But to be honest, they have come and visited me because like Norwegian flights aren't that bad.
They're gone up now.
They're gone up a little bit, yeah, because I think the change in like their airplanes, but a lot of people were coming over, flying into Norwegian, with Norwegian, sorry, into Stewart, and like it's grand.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting a lot of visitors these days, so.
Yeah, I mean, with New York, there's always something going on.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, somebody asked me to do something like one of the weekends during the summer, and I'm like, I literally like I've no weekend left.
I have
like
no everything. Weekends left till September.
So busy. There's so much to take advantage of and to do and like,
yeah,
you know, to like experience here that you kind of, you're almost too busy, which is a bit of, you know, it's not for everybody, but you're almost too busy to really kind of think too much into it.
Definitely. And I try and travel as much as I can. I try and go away every month or maybe twice a month. I find if I'm in New York for more than like 4 weeks consecutively, I'm like itching to go somewhere. I know, sorry.
Jet setter here.
You want to see my bank account, you'll feel a bit different. But yeah, no, like, it's just so good. Like, it's such a good base to have. I try and go to places that like JFK can bring me, that Dublin airport wouldn't be able to, or it would be really expensive.
Right, since you're
Ireland.
This far over across the world, like, exactly. You might as well, yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's been really good. But yeah, just in terms of, I guess, to close off our section around, like, making friends and everything, I just say reach out, don't have fear. You know, message somebody on Instagram, mm-hmm. if you think that, you know, they'll just meet you for a coffee or something, and don't be afraid to put yourself out there. I think as Irish people, we're inherently afraid of doing that, but you can't have any fear when you're over here.
Yeah, no, yeah. And it just, you kind of have no choice, like, really, realistically, like, so you kind of have to just push yourself to kind of be more open.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm the same with homesickness. I don't feel it really. I feel guilt and I feel like I'm missing out kind of, but I don't feel like I want to be at home. I have no reason to go home. I know like 2 days in when I'm at home, I'm like, geez, you're ready to kind of come back. And like when I'm at home, when I'm in Dublin, I'm like, oh, when I go back home now, I'll do that. Like,
people
have caught me saying that, and I'm just like, but it's just like, it's my own bed, it's my life, it's my friends, like, it's all of that, like, you
and
know.
And I do think I'll definitely settle back in Ireland at some point because, I mean, New York is so expensive. I couldn't imagine like settling down here and having your
ridiculous.
Whole life here.
Yeah.
But for while we're in our 20s and we're just like trying to have a good time, it's a great city to be in. So
yeah, exactly.
I feel very, very lucky. Every day
I feel like I have nothing really to lose anymore.
No.
You know,
and it's not like, it's still like new to me every day, do you know what I mean? I still don't take it for granted. Like when I get out of the subway and work, I get off at like Lexington and 53rd, and when I get out of the subway, the Chrysler building, it is right there, like it's such a good view. And every day I literally, it sounds so embarrassing, but I'm like, oh my God, like I never take it for granted. I'm never like, oh, my commute, like it's so nice. And I think the day that I don't appreciate that or I take it for granted is the day I need to leave.
Same, like I'm commuting through Times Square and like people like
say, okay, I don't think I wouldn't I want to get out there now.
No, I mean, look, I'm not jumping for joy, like like I'm still like,
it's still amazing,
it's still amazing. And I see tourists and stuff like that, and I just don't take it for granted. And when I'm literally like, I'm a cheese ball, like I am just so grateful for,
so high. I don't know why I'm getting so sentimental
grateful.
In my old age.
I know, in your old age, oh my God, I'm a killer. But I do, like, I just, I'm so grateful for like the small things and like for waking up every day and being like able to like go out for a run down like the FDR and like you know, going walking through Times Square. Okay, yeah, like there's homeless people, but okay, like there's like tourists and they bang into you and there's people bang and people asking you for money and all that jazz. But at the end of the day, like people travel thousands of miles to go through Times Square, and there's a reason for it, and there's a reason that people have called it the center of the universe or the center of the world, is because it's like a hub, and there's an energy you just can't match. People will always tell you about New York, there's an energy that it just can't match, and that is what keeps you going.
You know, it definitely does. I think like we're very, very lucky to be in the city, you know, and I think we keep reminding ourselves of that every day, so
it's very important to like keep yourself going. And then hopefully that will help with the, if you're feeling homesick or scared.
Just to know kind of like how lucky we are. And New York has such a good vibe to it as well. Like there was like that blackout happened last night where the whole city went into darkness and everybody was looking out for each other. I was watching videos on Twitter and people that were like residents in New York were got out, put on like a high-vis vest. God knows where they got that from. And were like directing traffic and everything.
Yeah, scary.
And like they were just there because they knew the police were busy. And like it was just so lovely to see. Everyone really does like help each other out. And
It's weird to say it, but there is a great sense of community in New York. And even my mom, who like has been here like so many times and kind of just still like still likes to come, and like she'd never live here. It's very different from who she is, but she's like just so like, it's just like New York. Like you just can't beat the New Yorkers. Like you just can't beat them.
And some people love it or hate it in the city. I think you know when you come. And I'd always tell people before they move over on a grad visa to just come here for a few weeks, because you could absolutely love it or you could absolutely hate it, because it is like so busy and like it's dirty and everything. And it's just everybody's running around. And I love it because I like how we're just anonymous over here. You know, I can leave my apartment in like my pajamas.
I know.
And like literally go and like drop my laundry off and nobody takes a second look at me. Like I could be wearing a chicken suit on a subway and nobody bats an eyelid, because people in New York are used to seeing crazy things every day.
They don't care.
If I was on a Dublin bus, I'd say the whole of the bus would be staring at me. I'd be in meme on Twitter.
Like.
But people don't care about you. And now that can go against you, because, you know, there's been times where, say, if, I don't know, like, I think one time I, like, fainted on the subway and, like, no one came over or anything. Like, I just remember being slumped in the middle of the subway and nobody came over. And so, obviously, it's bad then. But then on the other side of things, I kind of like the way nobody really, like, looks at you or cares about you. And I just, that's why I moved here. I wanted that, like, anonymous
city vibe. Starts a new leaf. Like, or you turn over a new leaf. You start fresh and you just kind of, it's whatever you make it.
Exactly.
So, what are we going to do? What are we going to talk about to finish this off?
So, I would say we should talk a little bit about credit score, maybe.
Boring.
I'll give my very brief 2 minutes on credit score.
Right, go on.
Okay, credit score.
Mrs. I watch the news every day.
Well, I do kind of work in finance, so I have to. So, credit score, so important. You're coming over here, you're completely credit invisible. And so the first thing that you need to do is get yourself a credit card. And I was the person that did not get a credit card for like my first 8 months. Irish people were inherently allergic to credit. We just want to use debit. You cannot do that in the US. You just cannot. You'll be invisible over here. Get yourself a credit card. Even just buy like chewing gum every month and pay it off. And that's building up your credit score. If you ever,
I mean all the like little things that you can buy.
Yeah, but you could even just buy chewing gum. Like you don't even use your credit card if you don't want to, but have it and at least buy one thing and pay it off every month, just so you can prove to the banks over here that you can pay off something.
Manage,
So even if you don't want to put stuff on it now, I actually do put all flights and hotels on it because it is like a guarantee if something was to get cancelled. But do that. Build it up every month. You need a credit score of like over 700 if you want to try and move into a new apartment over here or sign a lease. You cannot do anything without a credit score. You can't rent a car. You can't move apartments.
Can't rent a car?
No, sometimes they ask for it. I've had that happen before. Like anything you want to do, you need a credit score. And so even if you hate the idea of a credit card, get one anyway. That's my 2 minutes.
Now, I will say I have been very successful in dodging the credit score.
I mean, you're like the only person that I know that.
I'm just fucking skating. I'm just skating along.
And maybe that's good. Maybe that's another side of it. Good. No, it probably is.
It's not that my credit score is bad. It's just that it's grand and I don't do anything to affect it. But it's not it's not great. Like, it's just kind of like grand. Yeah, like I didn't abuse the credit system, mm-hmm. but I also didn't see the importance of ever needing. I've never ever been needed it, you know. I've never needed it.
And like that, yeah.
But that's why my, yeah.
Then it's fine. I just feel like if you want to be here for kind of long term, yeah. it will come up.
No, I mean, we've had this conversation, know, and I know that it's something that you're helping me with and we're working on. But Credit Karma is an app that you can actually check your credit score, yes. which is really, really cool. Yes. Kind of scary because it's the security on the app is like out of this world.
I know. When you first download it and you were like, Eva, what is this?
Like, they're like, 7 codes.
Yeah.
What's your name backwards? They're what's your brother's, sister's, mother's name?
Yeah. But it needs to be because there's so much like fraud over here, credit card fraud. Like, I think I've had like 3 credit cards cancelled because someone has managed to get my details somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And I'm very careful, so I don't know, but yeah, I use Credit Karma all the time. It also gives you tips on why your score might have dropped 1 month or how to increase your score. Say your limit is like 10,000, you should really only be using about 30% of your limit every month according to Credit Karma. Now I know people have different opinions on that, saying that if you max it out, as long as you pay it back on time, it's fine, but I have found that the only way to increase my credit score is just using the limit, or not using the limit and just using about 10 to 30% yeah. of my total max limit and then paying it back every month. So Credit Karma is amazing. I would 100% recommend that app.
Well, that's good. That's a good tip. And it has helped me. And then the social security. So you get social security when you move over here, and that's not hard. Sure, it's not.
No, I think once you have your visa, you get your social security number and you just have to go to the social security office and pick up your card, which I... keep your card safe, because I had mine from when I was on my summer J1 in 2016, and it's literally like a tiny piece of paper, and it's the most important piece of material you're ever going to have for your life in the US.
Yeah, you're very diligent about things like that. I'm like, I don't know where that's gone. I probably do have it saved, but like, I wouldn't be able. It's like your birth cert. I'm like, I don't know where that is.
I don't know where my birth cert is now, but sure, look, I'm sure that's at home somewhere. But yeah, so that's what I would say around like finance, and just come over with a lot of money. Use kind of something like TransferWise to pay yourself from your Irish account into dollars. That's really helpful as well.
Much money as you can come over with, yeah. honestly.
And then what's the one thing we say to each other every day that's not a verb in Ireland? You literally already said it to me today, Venmo. Venmo doesn't exist in Ireland, and it's the best. I couldn't live my life.
But don't they have another app for that?
I don't think there's any equivalent.
No.
So, like Revolut or something?
Yeah, Revolut. Yeah,
I never use that. I know that's a lot of people that do use that, and it's really helpful, but just think Venmo is so easy. So it's like owned by PayPal, and you can just transfer money to people instantly. So I got Stephanie a coffee to transfer me like $5 instantly. And it's Venmo is the best thing, and you're gonna hear that so much in New York. It's like, will you Venmo me? Have you Venmoed me? I pay my rent through Venmo and everything now, so.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I paid like, I've accepted security deposits, like thousands of dollars on Venmo. Yeah. Like, it's so trustworthy. And it's so easy to get, like, you know, yeah. it's one of those things.
Definitely. So yeah, I feel like we've talked very like realistically about New York, which is good, because I often find that things online aren't the most realistic. And I've been guilty of that myself. Like, I'm sure Instagram looks great.
But we do have those moments where it's just like, holy shit. Like, remember when we were out for Eva's birthday last weekend, and we were on this rooftop in Dumbo, and it was just like the sun was beaming down.
My gosh.
We were like loving ourselves.
That was amazing.
Sunday.
Like,
and like, I had a little cry. Like,
did you? Yeah. We were so happy it was my birthday.
I was just like, I love Eva so much. It's just like one of those things where you just feel so grateful again to
be here.
It's
a pinch yourself moment, definitely. And I mean, yeah, as much as there's a lot of negatives about New York, the positives completely like outweigh any of the negatives. I do think there's a thing, I've always said there's a thing called like New York guilt. I don't know if you get that, where you like on the weekends, I just cannot like sit in my apartment and like watch Netflix and chill. And yeah. I do that all the time in Ireland. Like, I am the biggest duvet day person ever, where I'll just like binge something and like lie in bed. If I do that in New York, I actually like just cannot sit still, because I'm like, you only have a limited time here, you never know what'll happen, you never know if you're not going to be here. So I feel like I need to get up and like see New York every weekend, even if I'm wrecked. Like,
you're great for that. I think the lifestyle, like your week 9 to 5 is so busy that when it comes to the weekends, you're just like,
you're kind of trying to keep going.
And it's not even 9 to 5. Like, you talk about your, but like,
yeah,
we work so many hours and then you're so tired and all I want to do is lie in bed, but I just can't. So I'm sure we'll like go back to Ireland. Even when I do go back to Ireland, I sleep for ages. Like,
yeah, that's like my dream is to like, yeah, it's very important to take your downtime to kind of be able to keep up with everything.
Yeah, no, it is.
Yeah.
But I just find it really hard in the city.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's very, very hard.
I just beat myself up at the end of the day being like, you could have done this. You could have gone to see this.
I know.
Even like missing on a night, like FOMO for missing on a night out. It's like, oh, you missed a Saturday night in New York. I find it really hard to do. Like, just switching off in general in the city, I find hard.
Yeah. I think we are all good. Well, thank you so much for coming and doing this and spending time on Sunday to record with me and giving me your time and advice.
Fine. Thanks for having me, and I hope something that I said has been useful.
I think all of it has been useful.
I know, we're probably going to get a lot of comments now saying we have American accents. If we do, apologize. I get it all the time, so I'm so conscious of it, but it's also, I've been here 2 years and it's so hard to not have an American.
Well, I work with Americans, so it's like, I have to like slow my roll because they won't understand either.
Yeah, please don't abuse us for that, but thanks for having me.
Thank you, girl.